Dear friends, we have all of us got the man body, which is considered to be the highest in all being. The highest thing before us is to know God. And to know God, we have to know ourselves first, then we can be able to know God, because God cannot be known by outgoing faculties, intellect, or vital airs. It is the soul alone that can know God, for the reason being that life can only, alone can know the life. God is all consciousness, and we are also a drop of the ocean of all consciousness. We are conscious entities. We are spirit in man. The first question arises, whether we can know God. For this very purpose, we have joined various religions, which are our schools of thought. And what we find in the religions, we have got scriptures with us, and what are the scriptures, they are fine record of the experiences of the masters who came in the past, which they had with God. First of all, to have the right import of the scriptures, we would require somebody who has experienced that way, because the master said what they saw, what they experienced. They never told anything at the level of feelings or emotions, or they never said anything as a matter of trying inferences to arrive at some conclusion. They experienced, they saw, and then gave out. Son knows the father, and others whom the son reveals. Who has seen God, he can alone help us to see God. So we find what we now have got interpretations of the scriptures with us. They are, most of them are done by intellectuals. They interpret them at the intellectual level. And that is why you find differences in the interpretation of one man and the other. When any man says one thing, for instance, he says it is a tree, well, he means by the word tree a tree, you see. He never means a dog or animal or elephant. So those who try to interpret them at the level of intellect, they differ from one another. That's the cause of so many schools of thought in existence. Had they seen, had they experienced what the masters have seen, saw, and experienced in their lives, they would have told the same thing. There would have been no difference of one bed from the other. So we need somebody who has that experience. He will be able to give us the right import of the scriptures. By reading carefully these scriptures, we find two kinds of statements. One is, nobody has seen God at any time. And at some other places we find the Master say they have seen God, they have experienced God. The question was put to Christ, whether there was a God. He said, behold the Lord. No reasoning. He saw. And he was competent to let others see God. This very question was put to Guru Nanak. Is there a God? He says, God is seen everywhere. He is pervading everywhere. I see him everywhere. There is no place where he is not. It so happened that in his lifetime he paid the pilgrimage to Mecca, the place, the holy worship of the Mohammedans. He went out there, he was lying at night, with his feet towards the Mecca, that building, house of God. And one man came up, in a very strong voice, he said, don't you see that your feet are towards the house of God? He said, friend, I see God is everywhere, there is no place where he is not. Where you consider that God is not, you may turn away my feet towards that side. That's all. Kabir Wala also says it. He says, I've seen him in every atom. He says, I was in doubt before. But with the grace of God in man, God man, I now see him everywhere, but my all doubts have vanished. So these many questions are put to others too. Swami Vivekananda, who also happened to come to America too, he was an atheist before. He used to challenge people, is there any man who has seen God? And he was led to one, Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. He was in Calcutta at the time. You see, masters, they don't act in pose. They live in their natural way, in a very simple way. He had a blouse around his lands, and wearing a shirt, bareheaded, he was walking. And the people told him, here's the man who has seen God. He went to him and put him a very blunt question, Master, have you seen God? And he said, yes, my child, I see him just as I see you, and more clearly than that. So these are something we go to show, some testimonies that they have seen God. If they have seen God, those who ever will meet him, they will also be able to see God. Swami Savait tells us, we should be able to see God with our own eyes. We should be able to hear the voice of God with our own ears. And this we can do only in the man body that we have got. That's the golden opportunity that God has given us. Now the question arises, with what eyes we can see him? All this the eyes of flesh and bones that can see him. This question I put to Guru Nanak. He says, those eyes are different with which we can see God. Those are not the eyes of flesh and bones, but those are different eyes. This very question was put to Lord Krishna. He says, you cannot see him unless you see through the latent eye that I give you. But that eye is referred to as the third eye or the single eye. That eye is within each man, whether you have got eyes on his face or not. Even the blind men have got that eye, but that is closed. So, you find, they have to say they are all eyes. You find in the Bible too, I, the light of the body, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. How did the eye become single? That very eye is called the eye other than these of flesh and bones. That very eye is called by the third eye. That very eye is called as the Shivnetra or the latent eye. These are the statements we find in the scriptures. So they bear out that they have seen God, and also they give the provision to those who ever met such a personality who has seen him, is competent to let others have a glimpse of him. And what do we see? God is light. All masters say that. Of course, they say it in their own language, which was prevalent at the time when they came. So that eye is within each man, and also we can hear the voice of God with ears other than these ears. But we find also in scriptures that our eyes are sealed and our ears are also sealed. Unless those seals are broken, we cannot see the light of God, cannot hear the voice of God. And Christ addressed his disciples, blessed are you who see things what the old prophets and the righteous men could not see. You hear things what the old prophets and the righteous men could not hear. So from these places you find there is something to see and something to hear. Now let us see ourselves what we say. Can we definitely say that way? Whosoever you will ask, you will say, I feel God. Well, feeling is your own weight, is your own make. Somebody will arise in emotions, well, in emotion you say so many things, but these are also the result of feeling. Someone will come up and say, yes, as a matter of inference, there is a God. I happened to attend a conference. There were many sadhus and others in India. The talks were given. One sadhu came up and said, look here, be ready. I'll just show you God. He gave a very wonderful talk as a matter of inference, you see. Quite appreciable, but you come to some conclusion in not seeing, see. So, almost majority of them, almost all of them I would say, with rare exceptions, they all speak of God as a matter of feeling, as a matter of emotions, or as a matter of drawing inferences. They are not secret. Such like persons who are few in the past, even now the world is not without them, but they are few. So we can see God, and those who have got the man body, they have got the birthright to see God. And for that very reason, we have joined various religions, social forms of it. They are our schools of thought, in which we are joined to know God. So this question is there, hidden, I would say, in each one's heart. Can we see God? I quote you from scriptures, you see. Both statements that nobody has seen God at any time, and also they say they have seen God, though both are true. They are given from different levels. The first statement is made from the level when the God was in an absolute state, in a worldless state. When God was not into, did not come into expression, into action, which is called world. And the other state is all right, when He came into being, there are two phases of God, God is light and God is some principle. So we can see the light of God with the single eye, or the third eye, or the latent eye, or the shivnata, which is within each man. If that eye is open and the seal is broken, you will bear testimony that there is God. You will also break the seal over your ears, and you will bear testimony that there is the voice of God reverberating through all creation, that the music of His spheres. So whenever masters come, they have solved this mystery of life. They saw God and they assure us we can also see God as they have seen. Because, as I told you before, it is the like that can alone know the like. We are embodied souls, conscious entities, but our souls are under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are given up so much so to the outward players, that we have identified with them so much so we have forgotten ourselves. The first question will arise, how to know ourselves? Because God cannot be known by feelings, emotions, drawing inferences. It is the soul alone when it is liberated from mind and outward faculties. This is the first thing that we have before us. That is all Master said, self, know thyself, who you are, what you are. Are you this 4, 5, 6 feet high body that you are carrying? You say no. Because we have seen with our own eyes, such like bodies we have carried on our shoulders, to the burial place, or to the cremation place, according to the customs of each religion. So similarly, bodies we are carrying, we are to leave it someday. There is no exception to the rule. So we are under a grand delusion, I would say. We have found by reference to the scriptures that there is a possibility have seen God. The masters come to say, they take up the same question. The reason you see the masters, most of the masters who came in the past, they were never educated in any universities. Ramakrishna Paramahansa was quite illiterate. So Prophet Muhammad, Kabir was never got any degree from the university. And do you think Christ had attended any college? So this is a matter of seeing what I am telling you. This experience can be had not at the level of intellect, only when you rise, when you are physically, intellectually still. There is no question of intellect arises. Be still. Then you know God. So all masters who came, they saw and gave out. Of course, learning is a flower of, is a garland of flowers around the neck of a practical master. He can explain things, the same thing in so many ways. From all, from the different vocabularies he has got at his command. But even if the master is not has any degree that we at least, he sees and says, he simply will quote from the vocabulary that he has got around him. But he has seen, he can give you a practical experience of self-analysis, knowing yourself, open your eyes to see the light of God and you bear testimony to it, there is that. So such like persons in the company of such like persons, we can also have an experience of God. So when masters come, they, that very question that is just lying in our, at our heart of hearts, they question him, well, what is the way to know God? How can we know God? So the state of self will, without any reasoning, go to somebody who has seen God. Now you find vast difference between seeing, feelings, emotions, and drawing inferences. Who sees God, son knows the father, and others whom the son reveals. So who is that in that God man or the master, you see? Who has seen God, who has the competency to connect you with God. God resides in every heart. There is no heart without it, all fit to stay. In whatever human form that God is manifest, that manifested God alone can enable you to contact with him. He is God, God in him, not the son of man. He is competent to raise any soul from the bondage of mind and matter and give him a contact with his own self, which is manifested in two ways. God is light, God is self-principle. Call him by any name you like. There also, there are degrees and degrees. Well, nowadays, we have so many teachers, so many masters. There are different subjects. In any subject which relates to our outgoing faculties, we need somebody to guide us there. The man who wants to become a doctor, medical line he takes up, you know, there are medical books already existing. But only by reading the medical books you cannot become a doctor. Because it is a matter of knowing the system by anatomy, how the system works, how it is retarded, how that can be removed, that you got the third infection, then that can be resumed in the normal life. This is the subject of practical anatomy. When you sit by such a person who is really gone through it, he will be able to tell you how to do it. You know, dead bodies are taken to the medical colleges where the students don't know how to do anatomy. A chemist might be able to give you hundreds of prescriptions for the same disease as given by different doctors. But he can make you a chemist, not a doctor, mind that. Similarly, the one who has analyzed the soul from mind first, he has controlled the outgoing faculties from outside and liberated his mind from the clutches of outgoing faculties and analyzed himself from mind, he alone can know himself. When he knows himself, he sees that controlling power. So in spite of all these scriptures which are with us, we do need somebody who has, by self-analysis, liberated himself from mind and outgoing faculties, knows himself and knows that controlling power which is keeping us in the body and all the universe under its control. I gave you the info yesterday night that our bodies work so long as we are in the body. And our bodies, we work in the body so long as we are controlled in the body. There are so many apertures, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, etc. We cannot run away out of it. Breathing goes out, the sub-power is bringing it back. It cannot remain outside. So when we analyze ourselves from the body, we can see that controlling power which is keeping us in the body. So first of all, we need somebody who sees God. He sees God and can others make see God. Give that very expression of God. So I told you that teachers and teachers have their own lines. But the one who has analyzed himself and sees God as I see you and you see me, such a person is required at whose feet we will be first of all able to have the right report of the scriptures. All masters who had the truth, truth is one. Those who realized that truth, they gave out the same truth. Of course, in their own languages and in their own modes of expression. But they say the same thing. They say God is light. Mohammedan say God is Noor. Hindu gentlemen say God is Jyoti. They all say the same thing. But those who have had no experience of that, what do they say, the intellectuals? God is intellectual light, because they have not seen light. So my viewpoint is, if there are people who have seen God, they cannot differ from one another. That's a common sense talk I'm giving you. The right answer to a question can only be one, not two, three, four. So for that, what we need, first of all, a teacher, call him by any name you like, someone who has analyzed himself. God is in every heart, but in his heart that is manifest. God has got no equal, no parents, no brother. Who can give you a contact with God? You will only have to say, the God manifested in any human bowl alone can give a contact with any soul to himself.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was a talk a Master gave at the Spar Heights Community Center in Glendale, California, on December 7, 1963. Our reader this evening is Rudy Cascone. Hi, Rudy.
Hello, David. Thank you. Today I'll be reading from Master's book called Nam, O Word, starting with the chapter Nam, What Is It? And Master says, all scriptures speak of Nam, but have not been able to say adequately what it is impossible to define and delineate it in words. It may be described as life impulse or conscious principle. When it begins to vibrate, it produces a melodious sound, which is termed Nam, or Shabd. This sound current proceeding from the deep silence of the formless Kutash is responsible for all forms and colors visible and invisible to the naked eye. All life hangs on this life principle, and no life can exist without Nam. The sound principle is all-pervading. It may or may not be felt, yet it is reverberating from top to toe. It is the kernel and the essence, and at once both the material and the efficient cause of the endless universes in which this physical earth is but a speck. O Pippa! This universal vibration is the primal causeless cause, but can be apprehended only through a master soul, Raja Pippa. In all religions, God is spoken of as the sound manifest or life principle. It is a current, live and conscious, and has in the germs of creation. And it is because of this link between the Creator and the creation that the spirit or the soul of a person can cross over the physical body and traverse the spiritual regions to reach the true home of our Father, Satchkhand. From scriptures, we learn that the sound principle, or Nam, is of two kinds, one, outer, and two, inner. The former consists of words that may be spoken or written down and recorded. This constitutes all learning and knowledge at the intellectual level and is termed apravidya, or knowledge of the world and the worldly surroundings. All worldly wisdom is included therein. It is also called varnatmak, for with it, atma, or the soul, can express itself and functions in the world. All bookish knowledge is because of varnatmak shabd. Comprehension of the world and the worldly relations depends on this type of shabd, which helps outwardly in the physical plane. It serves as a mean of conveying the ideas and emotions of man to man, just as any other animal would do. And outer sounds, then, serves as the first step to the study of the science of the spirit. Theory precedes practice, and the master saint has to make use of it for explaining this most abstruse subject. And again, japa, or oral repetition of the certain words or names of God, is to be done by varnatmak shabd. And the preliminary training of the mind is the first essential of this path, and hence the need for outer sound or shabd. Japa is of four kinds. One, bakiri or oral, performed by the tongue. Two, madhama, done mentally at the seat of the shakti in the kanth or throat. Three, prashanti, done at the seat of the heart and four pada, also a mental process performed with attention riveted at the seat of the navel. All these types of japas give solace of varying degrees, and one gets peace of mind of a temporary nature only, because the various bodily ganglion involved in them are of a lower order, situated below the Shiv Netra, or the third eye. And besides these, there is the Simran or Japa of the indescribable and hidden sound current that proceeds of itself from the depths of the great silence. It is technically termed Paravidya, knowledge of the beyond, or Dhan Atmak Shabd. In this type of japa, one has just to listen to the all-pervading Nam or Shabd. As this sound cannot be expressed in any symbolic form, it is expressionless. It may be contacted above the sensory plane, behind the center of the two eyebrows. The true significance of Nam, the creator of various planes and divisions of the endless universes, may be known by one who is an adept in the Surat Shabd Yoga, or has guided his soul with the sound principle. He who performs japa with the tongue of thought knows the true nature of the sound current, word or nam, Guru Nanak. No doubt, Dhan Atmak Shabd is the very essence of one's soul, but one cannot apprehend it without the help and guidance of a master soul or adept in the line. And without Surat Shabd Yoga, i.e., establishing a contact of the spirit or soul with the essential live principle through the regular process of inversion or self-analysis, one does not get life's richest gifts, for the spirit is engaged all in the outer pursuits by constant association with the mind and senses, reveling in the enjoyments of the world and worldly objects. Emerson, the great American philosopher, speaks of inversion as tapping inside. Lord Jesus metaphorically speaks of it, "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Nam, or name, is Varnatmak, while Nami, or named, is the great power behind the descriptive words and is Dhan Atmak. From epithetics, one has to recede to the power which the words denote and stand for. The japa of Varnatmak is performed orally by the tongue and is just a preparatory course in the spiritual discipline of the soul. Saint Ramidas says in this context, without actual sight of an object, longing does not arise, and whatever is visible to the naked eye is perishable indeed. And he who establishes an inner contact with the Surat and Shabd, spirit and sound, through the help of Varnatmak words is a true yogi, desireless and free. Varnatmak, or epithetic names, look just like dolls, apparently dancing by themselves, but they, in fact, are being made to dance by invisible hands, controlling the lines behind them. In the exact same way, there exists infallible links between Nam and the Nami, or the name and the named. Varnatmak or Atmak Shabs. Varnatmak words pave the way for Dhan Atmak Shabd, and are thus essential aids in stilling the mind of oscillations, purging it of all impurities, and rendering it capable of apprehending Dhan Atmak, current within. For without this vital cord, the spirit cannot transcend the physical plane and enter the higher spiritual planes leading to the home of our Father. The Varnatmak words may and do differ because of lingual differences, but the Dhan Atmak Shabd, being the life principle of the spirit or soul, is the same throughout. It has indeed been an unspoken language and an unwritten law throughout the ages and it shall remain so till eternity. For all life is one and one only for the entire creation, though it is in multitudinous forms. And the teachings of the saints, which center around reality, are therefore a common heritage for the entire humanity, and not for this or that class of social order or religious sects. The saints are secular in their outlook and not sectarian. Children of light, they give out to one and all, irrespective of caste and creed. God made man an embodied spirit, and man made religions, and is caught in his own handiwork, just like a silkworm in his cocoon. The saints come to liberate man from his own self-made bondage, to take him out of the narrow grooves which he has molded himself through centuries of habitual way of living. The saints do not meddle with social orders, nor do they create any. Their call is addressed to the Spirit alone. They come with a divine mandate to lead man from darkness to light, from untruth to truth, from death to immortality. Arise, awake, and stop not until the goal is reached, the Vedas. And think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill Christ. And again, for them, saints, there is no difference between the so-called twice-born, the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas, and the low-born Sudras, or, for they address them all alike. The beloved of the Master, the Guru Mukh, worships the Nam and attains moksha, liberation, the Nam which, O Nanak, pervades equally in all, Guru Arjan. In the life story of Guru Nanak, we find an anecdote of Mian Misa, a fakir of the Mithenkot, a town in the Punjab, now in West Pakistan. In his wanderings, Guru Nanak came across a fakir and told him that without Nam, or the word, one found no peace here and hereafter, and could not escape from the karmic bondage. As to what this Nam, or word, was, he said that it was not a subject of comprehension by the senses, but it could be apprehended on the supersensual plane. The Guru asked me and Mitra to listen with himself, but the Mian could hear nothing. And thereupon the Guru took him aside and, looking intently at him, asked him once again to attune himself within. Whereupon the Mian exclaimed that he could distinctly feel the vibrations of Nam in every pore of his body. This shows that the Word of God is characterized not by words but by vital vibrations. The beloved of the Master feels and experiences the quickening of life impulse in all the pores of his body, Guru Nanak. The saints, therefore, in common say that God is one and there is only one way that leads Godward. The spiritual discipline does not interfere with nationality or social religion. Every person, whatever his nationality or religion, can practice this discipline and successfully follow the path of the saints. The divine link or word is already present in each individual, no matter who he is and whatever his vocation in life. It is attained by the process of self-analysis and inversion. And one who learns the practice and practices process can come in contact with it. But the trouble is that everybody clings to the age-old convictions and is not prepared to break away from them and accept ideas which appear to be new and novel. But by constant association with a God-man or man of realization, the light of truth gradually dawns upon him, and in the course of time, he begins to realize the truth. Nam is sound principle. Nam is characterized by a sweet, serene sound current. This ethereal music is going on in each individual. In fact, there is no place without it. Its divine notes can be heard through the grace of some master of divine music or master soul. All the scriptures of the world make pertinent references to this heavenly harmony. God manifests himself as Nam, the ever-reverberating Nam. The Vedas, Shastras, and Smritis sing of Nam, times without number, Guru Arjan. The Nam, the sound principle, reverberating as it is in all the hearts, does not diminish or increase, and is unchangeable permanence. Without Nam, all are just paupers, and this truth comes only from a master soul. Hearing the Nam, one becomes the knower of the self and gets all that is good and noble. Hearing the Nam, all sins drop off of themselves, and one easily gets at the truth. O Nanak, by hearing the Nam, one's face shines with glory. The beloved of the Master is ever in contact with the Nam, Guru Nanak. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. For Messiah. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. St. Paul. The seat of Nam or Word. The body is the temple of God, for God made man in his own image. But it is only after the spirit, through the process of inversion, gets concentrated between and behind the two eyebrows, that one can hear the divine melody. Guru Nanak, when questioned by the yogins, those engaged in yogic exercises like pranayama, etc., about this music, told them, O yogi, you may have the gift of the divine link only if you transcend the body. This divine link is essentially musical in character and has a great magnetic force, which pulls the spirit upward to spiritual realms as spirit. Word and God are of the same as when like attracts like, the spirit is irresistibly drawn out of the bodily raiment. Maulana Rumi therefore says, if I were to give thee a little account of the divine strains, all the spirits would leave their respective bodily abodes. Christ too speaks of it. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live. This heavenly harmony is already within each one of us. And we could distinctly hear it if we could, by leaving the outgoing faculties through repetition of a name or names, withdraw the spirit from the sensory plane. The reverberations of this music make us self-absorbed and self-intoxicated. One died in the Nam is ever absorbed within and gets eternal bliss, Guru Nanak. All the intoxicants of the world produce but a passing inebriation and a momentary forgetfulness. But a spirit died in the color of Nam or Word is ever engrossed in the sound principle arising from the deep silence of the soul, and experiences an everlasting bliss, which is interminable. The intoxication of Nam, O Nanak, works around the clock, Guru Nanak. Nam is the life principle that works through all that lives, and its withdrawal means disintegration, dissolution, and death. And I live when I listen to Nam's music. I die when I forget it, Guru Nanak. And again, O my beloved, I do live when I contact the Nam. And without that, there is no life. My master has instilled this in me, Guru Ramdas. So long as this inner contact of it with the Nam, which is latent in each one of us, is not established, there is no way out for the spirit, and it gets no peace. Time for practicing spiritual disciplines. One may devote oneself to the worship of Nam or Word at any time and at any place, for there is no restrictions in this behalf. But Amrit Vela, early dawn, is the most appropriate and fruitful for the purpose. At the ambrosial hour of early dawn, be ye in communion with the divine word and meditate on his glory, Guru Nanak. And again, O thou rise early and worship the word day and night, and then, O Nanak, thou shalt have no grief and escape from all troubles, Guru Ramdas. Why is Nam inaudible? Our minds is ever in a state of oscillation. It is covered with the dust of ages upon ages. All the time, our mental faculties are flowing outward into the world, and never for a moment have they known any rest. Until the mind is purified and still, one cannot listen to the reverberations of the sound current. There can be no devotion with an unclean mind, for one cannot have access to the sound current. A man dwelling on the plane of the senses dies in the senses and loses all respect here and hereafter, Guru Amardas. Again, oscillating between this and that on account of egoistic life, the mind gets lost and finds neither charm nor interest in the sound current, Guru Amardas. Well, Nam is a subjective experience. Nam is, in the real sense, is beyond perception, comprehension, apprehension. It is an unspoken language, and mutely it speaks. Madame Blavatsky calls it the voice of silence. And a continual touch with the word helps instilling the mental vibrations and quieting the mind. And Guru Nanak speaks of it, Nam, cannot be seen with the eyes, nor can it be comprehended. But with all this, it is so sweet and so loving. O God, grant Nanak this ambrosial nectar from age to age so that he may ever be engaged in its limitless vibrations. Real Nam, incomprehensible and hidden. The essence of Nam is all-pervading in each individual and is yet hidden and unfelt. It can be made manifest through the grace of a master soul who is established in the Nam, or in other words, is not sonified and capable of transmitting to others his own life impulse. In this present age, the unmanifest Nam reigns supreme and is surging in abundance in each individual. It, however, becomes manifest in such hearts as take refuge at the lotus feet of a master soul, Guru Amar Das. In this world, one can have everything one may desire, but the unmanifest word is too difficult to be achieved. It is the heritage of one who is a gurumukh or established in the master soul. Harinam is the very rare commodity. It may grow in the heart of some guru man. The whole world is devoid of Nam, and yet it may be obtained from a guru man, Guru Amar Das. Nam, the divine link between man and his maker. The controlling power of Nam has within its mighty grasp the endless series of universes. Human body has been designed on the mold of cosmic order. This microcosm, made up of diverse elements, likewise owes its integrity and organic unity to Nam. It is the indissoluble link between God and man. Just as a fish can ride a mighty wave, so a spirit can ride the sound current and reach the sea of sound or Nam. The path of the sound principle is known as a process of inversion. All other paths lead to extensionalism, with no way out of the panorama of life. Whoever gets linked with Nam, he alone, O Nanak, can realize the immaculatity, pure, Guru Arjan. The path of Nam leads to Sija state. Nam helps the spirit to attain Sija, a state of perfect equipoise beyond the realm of the three gunas, Sattvic, Rajasic, and Tamasic, i.e. equanimity, action, and inertia, respectively. It is a state not subject to decay and disintegration. Let the beloved O Nanak mercy on him, for Nam is the blind man's staff unto him. Guru Arjan. O God, thy name is a pilgrim staff to the blind. To me, who is a poor and helpless wretch, thy name is my prop and support. I'm going to stop right there. And I've been reading from Master's holy book, Nam, O Word, starting with Nam, What Is It? On page 24 in my particular book. Well, thank you, Master, for your words of wisdom. Bless us and keep us in your holy feet. Amen.
Thank you, Rudy, for reading for us. There were 51 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, Master, for providing this for us. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for your patient hearing. What I have come to know, I have come for you. It is for you to, for calm consultation, how it appears to you.